More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, put away wrath. Is anger poisoning your relationships? We'll help you discover grace-filled ways to resolve the anger and let healing start. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, put away wrath. We're talking about anger today. Whether you are on the giving or receiving end of anger, the reality is Christians have a complicated relationship with the idea of anger. We often feel guilty for feeling it, for acting on it, and it's hard to know how to get anger right. So that's what we're talking about today on More to Life. What ways do you find anger either undermining your peace or poisoning your relationships? We want to help you discover grace-filled ways to resolve the anger and let healing start. 877-573-7825.
You know, Greg, you're so right about the complicated relationship that we as Christians have with anger, because most people who don't know God, who don't care about God's opinion of them, just let anger fly. You know, they're living for themselves. If they're uncomfortable, if something upsets them, they just vent it. But we as Christians know we're not living for ourselves. We're living to serve the Lord. We're living to serve other people. We want to give God glory and not ourselves. We want to be virtuous. And that really does complicate our relationship with anger, whether that is our own anger or someone else's. You know, I remember as a teenager, as I came back to my relationship with God in a much fuller way than I had ever lived it, my mother, who was not a Christian in any way, shape, or form, rejected it outright. When she would get angry, I didn't really know how to act at that very young point of my Christian walk, because I didn't want to act in a way that wouldn't please God. I didn't want to be a bad witness to who He was, and it really did complicate things for me. And I know whenever I would do anything that responded to her anger in a way that sort of stood up for myself or what I believed in, she would throw away the line, "Well, ain't you the Christian one?" And immediately, one, I felt, but most people feel cowed by that kind of label, whether it's in those words or something else that somebody is trying to hush us up about so they can just take their anger out on us and make us do their bidding without talking back, without standing up for ourselves. And so when we're on the receiving end of anger, it's very difficult to know how to respond. And when we're feeling truly angry, it's very hard to express it and feel like we're doing it in a just and holy way. And it gets really confusing.
So give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. And tell us, how is anger undermining your peace? Is someone you care about struggling with anger? For example, maybe you have a child who melts down over the littlest thing. Maybe your spouse melts down over the littlest thing. Was that funny?
That was very funny. The way you said that was very funny.
Or they lash out at you when they get upset. Or maybe you have a parent, a sibling, a family member, or a friend who seems to always be upset with you about something. Maybe you're struggling with your own anger. You know, there's someone or something that just pushes your buttons, and you find yourself doing and saying things that you feel bad about after, but aren't sure what you could have done differently. However, anger is complicating your life, poisoning your relationships, wrecking your peace, we want to help you find the antidote for all the ways that anger is poisoning your heart. 877-573-7825.
And Greg, as soon as you said that part about, you know, your toddler or your child melting down and in anger, I thought, well, that's the trigger to make me feel angry.
Sure,
or, you know, the parent feel angry. So anger can be cyclical, and it can really grow, and then we're all there wringing our hands, feeling like we've damaged our relationships and maybe even our very souls and certainly our well-being, and we don't know what to do. So let's talk about what to do today in your situation, because everybody's is different in several different ways. So let's talk about it. All you have to do is give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. And as I said the other day, I think everybody should put it in their contacts so they can just hit the button and be the first ones in
line. We are right there. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And you might be asking yourself, well, or you know, asking us, what can some highfalutin theology to tell us about anger and help me deal with anger and angry people? Well, I'm glad you asked. So here's what it's all about. When St. John Paul was Pope, he asked this huge question. Basically, he said, look, if we looked at everything God's given us, you know, creation, scripture, salvation, history, all of it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became the theology of the body.
And in his book, Love and Responsibility, St. John Paul II reminds us that emotions are gifts from God, but they need to be guided by reason and virtue to fulfill their godly intention. Anger is one of those emotions. When it's righteous, it actually serves love.
Well, that's right, because righteous anger isn't about lashing out. It's about working to restore justice in an unjust situation. It's directed toward healing and the ultimate good of everybody involved in the problem, you know, both the person who was hurt and even the person who caused the harm.
You know, as we talk about the theology of the body and love and responsibility, we also have to think of St. Thomas Aquinas, who taught, "He that is angry without cause sins, but he that is not angry when there is just cause sins." Righteous anger motivates us to act in ways that are appropriate, proportionate, and productive. It's really about love in action.
You know, but wrath is something different. Wrath undermines love. You know, instead of restoring dignity, it demeans everyone. It's when anger becomes inappropriate, disproportionate, unproductive, or even destructive.
And that's why John Paul II's theology of the body is so important here. The theology of the body calls us to always treat others as persons, children of God, never as objects. Wrath objectifies the other person. It reduces them to the enemy, rather than seeing them as children of God.
Yeah, and that's a really important distinction. So anger, rightly understood, isn't a call to lash out. It's a call to prayer and reflection. When we're angry, the first thing we need to do is prayerfully ask, what's the real problem here? And how can I respond to it in a way that's appropriate, proportionate, and productive? You know, something that leads to healing and deeper communion.
When we give in to wrath, it tears relationships down and distances us from God's plan for human dignity and communion. But when we handle anger in this prayerful, thoughtful way, it actually helps love grow.
You know, this all sounds great in theory. I think we can all agree this is a great plan.
But how do we... Until those feelings overwhelm us.
Well, exactly. And so how do we actually make it happen in our own lives with our own anger? Or apply it to the people who are taking their anger out on us. Well, let's talk it out. On our show today titled Put Away Wrath, give us a call at 877-573-7825.
And the one thing I can say is just telling yourself, I'm not going to react that way this time, will not work. You need a plan. You need some new skills. You need to really look at the situation, and we can help you do that today. 877-573-7825.
Well, let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we bring to you our own anger and the anger that is directed at us. We ask you, Lord, for the wisdom to really take that time to not lash out or react to our anger or to the angry people in our lives, but instead to remember to bring that anger and those situations to you. To say, Lord, help us to know how to respond to this situation. Help me to respond in a proportionate, appropriate, and productive way that works for my good and the good of the other person, that helps me bring healing to the situation that's painful. Lord, we ask you to help us to find the antidote for those times when anger is poisoning our own hearts or poisoning our relationships, so that we can respond to anger in ways that lead to just outcomes, outcomes that glorify you and that make the way possible for deeper love to flourish. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Put Away Wrath. We're, of course, referencing the scripture that says exactly that. But it's not so easy to just say, I'm not going to be angry anymore. And, of course, that's not really what that's about anyway. It's about expressing the anger that we feel in proportionate, appropriate, and productive ways so that it actually restores justice to an unjust situation, makes healing possible, and clears the way for real love to grow. Now, that all sounds great in theory, but how do we apply it to our own lives, especially when people are taking their anger out on us? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Colleen, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New Hampshire.
Hi, Colleen. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Yes. I come off as being very angry to people. I have a son that is older. He's an adult now. And he has frontal lobe damage, and he gets angry very easy. It goes from 0 to 100. And when he goes to that level, I get scared and I want to correct him, and I'll come off really loud to him, and I can't control that, and I don't know how.
So, Colleen, let me ask you so a couple of questions. So, you said he has a frontal lobe damage. So he has a neurological disorder. Does he live with you?
No, he doesn't live with me anymore. He's actually living in a specialized home right now, but okay. he does come over an awful lot.
When he gets angry, you get scared. Do you feel unsafe around him?
Maybe so, because so many times in the past life he's tried to commit suicide. Because he gets upset and he goes from 0 to 100. And he's been on a ventilator before for trying to do it, and the SWAT team has been here.
And he's you're concerned for his well-being because of this history of suicide, because of the damage to his brain. And also, I'm assuming, you know, I'm the mother of a grown son. My grown son is much bigger than me. If he lost control, he could hurt me. So are you also worried about your own well-being if he gets very angry around you?
Exactly.
Okay.
That's exactly right. I get afraid that he's going to go do something stupid. And when he screams, he can scream loud enough that the whole...
So Colleen, how does he get around?
He's actually right now just driving a car. And the situation got complicated because he's doing really well right now, but he's having bursts all the time before, and I have to be like... on point, but right now he's having bursts of it because he's actually been on medicine for a year right now, and both me and my husband have had severe medical issues, so he's coming over to try to help us, but sometimes he'll get upset at something and I'll have to say, you gotta stop, you just gotta leave, I can't do with this. And he's taking it as I'm mad at him. I'm angry with him.
Okay, so what I'd like to suggest to you is the time to address this isn't when it's happening, but it's beforehand, when everybody can be relatively calm. And I recognize that you know, as you say, he has some frontal lobe problems, and so I'm not clear, you know, how much control he has, but he obviously seems fairly high functioning if he's able to drive with this and get around. So my suggestion to you would be to discuss this with him before he comes over, you know, but when the two of you are, you know, having a pleasant conversation, being able to say to him, hey, look, you know, I know that we get into these situations where, you know, you might get upset about something, and then I get scared and upset, and then you think I'm mad at you. I'd like to talk about how to handle those things better. So let's talk about, you know, when you come over, if you get upset about something, you know, what are some things I could do that would help you re-regulate yourself? And what are some ways that I could be helpful in that situation? And what are some things that we can do in those times where you're maybe having a hard time, you know, recognizing that you're getting angry and that I'm getting scared? Let's talk about how we could handle that, so the next time something like that happens, we can handle it better. Another approach would be to say, hey, you know, the last time this happened, you know, I don't want to revisit the whole thing, but I'd like to talk about how we could handle situations like that better in the future. You know, the next time something like this comes up, how could we work better together so that, you know, I don't have to feel so scared and then you don't feel picked on? How could we work through that and address that? What things do we need to put in place? The other thing that I want you to think about is where and what conditions is your son more likely to be able to handle himself? And you want to try to limit your interactions to those places. So
if you went to visit him frequently, would it work for him to be in his own space? If you met at a diner, you know, a restaurant, more public place, even the public library to kind of just get together, or a park, would he be able to contain himself and function better there than having him just come over to the house where he's isolated and he remembers his old life before the injury, and it may frustrate him more?
This could even happen not just so much with places, but with even topics. You know, so for example, there might be certain topics that you can handle better in person versus other topics that would be better to handle over text or via call or email. And when those topics, say, if the two of you are together and those topics come up, you might say, you know, this is something that we'd agreed that we were only going to handle by text or email, because whenever we talk to each other directly, it tends to get inflamed. So, you know, could we save this for, you know, a text conversation later? Think about all of this outside of the actual interaction, because once he's angry and you're scared, everything's, you know, it's the train that has jumped the tracks already. By working this out ahead of time and coming up with strategies for addressing it, that's going to be your best bet. Now, if you need some professional support in finding graceful ways to manage this, either you and your husband working together, or you, your husband, and your adult son, we'd be happy to provide some more personalized assistance through CatholicCounselors.com. You can learn more about our pastoral counseling practice there. But I think these suggestions will get you started. If you need more support once you get, you know, try to apply some of these ideas, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We can coach you the rest of the way. Colleen, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you in dealing with your son's anger and managing that more effectively, don't hesitate to reach out. With that, we have to go to break. When we come back, more with your calls at 877-573-7825 as we talk about anger today on More to Life. We'll also be joined by Father Thomas Loya of the Tabor Life Institute, who'll be sharing some insights about managing anger gracefully. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues in just a minute.
You like pizza?
Me too.
And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan.
First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Put Away Wrath, from the scripture verse that reminds us the importance of having a healthy relationship with our anger. If you are struggling with anger or angry people, give us a call, 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Father Thomas Loya from the Tabor Life Institute. Father Loya, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you for being here. I'm glad.
So, as a pastor, as a counselor, and the expert on the theology of the body, when you encounter parishioners or even clients who are struggling with anger, what are some of the insights that you like to share with them?
One of the things I ask them to do is I say, first of all, you have to understand anger is a defense mechanism. We get angry because something is being encroached upon. We want to defend it. So what I try to get them to do, as I do in my own life, is walk it back. Try to identify what is it that I'm trying to defend. What do I think needs to be defended? Once you can identify that, then you ask the next question, should it be defended, or should it be defended in this way? Now, a lot of the spiritual masters, like St. Basil the Great, said, we get angry often because basically we think too highly of ourselves. In other words, a lot of anger, not all anger, but a lot of anger is based oftentimes, if you dig down deep enough in pride, in other words, a person isn't being as we want them to be, things aren't as we want them to be, our expectations aren't being met. So it's a kind of a preservation of our own sort of agenda. That's what we're protecting. And when that gets encroached upon, we get angry. Now, there is, of course, righteous anger, too. But if we walk it back, identify it, then ask ourselves, should it be defended, and should it be defended in this way? Now, when anger comes at us, what I recommend is try to stay calm. Even take a deep breath, breathe in, breathe out. Stay calm. Stay with the person. Try to find out what they are trying to defend. It's not always in the words. You got to get underneath it. And then stand in there, stay calm, try to listen to them, and respond to what you think their anger is really all about. This happened to me recently. It often comes up as a priest and you're dealing with people, and
I bet it
does. I was angry and I was missing it. And I realized I had missed it because I kind of put what they were saying more into defending myself. And I realized that I wasn't there for them as I should have been as a priest, because they said something, kind of pushed my own button. I went to defend me, and I realized that was wrong. So it's a challenging thing. I have to do it myself, and sometimes I don't even make it. But that's what I find is the secret. Try to identify what you're trying to defend. And should it be defended, or what they're trying to defend, try to answer that underneath their words.
And I think as we're reflecting on that idea of should I be defending this, and how can I defend it, I think that's where the piece that we were sharing earlier about needing to make sure that our response is appropriate, proportionate, and productive. That righteous anger is really rooted in that idea that I'm going to make an appropriate response to this. It's going to be a productive. It's going to move things forward in some way. And it's going to be proportionate. You know, I'm not going to respond in a way that's over the top based on the situation here. And right. I think the things you're suggesting, you know, really create that structure that allow us to make sure that we're making that appropriate, proportionate, and productive response to a situation.
Right. Righteous anger always moves towards good action. Emotional anger, one that's based more like in a pride or defending oneself, will result in something that's not productive, even harmful. That's how you know the difference. A lot of people ask me, well, what about righteous anger? Well, okay, sign of righteous anger is it moving you to good action, positive action?
Great points. Father Loy, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I really encourage them to go to TaborLife.org. That's T-A-B-O-R, life.org, like the mountain, Mount Tabor. And you can get great resources there about how the theology of the body can help you transform your life. Father Loy, thanks again for being with us.
Thank you.
And we're talking with you, listeners, today at 877-573-7825 about anger on our show titled Put Away Wrath. You know, anger is a hard emotion to get right. And especially as Christians, being able to apply the things that Lisa and I are talking about, that Father Loy was just talking about, you know, it all makes sense on a certain level, but it's challenging to pull off. Even Father Loy was giving an example where, as a pastor, he sometimes misses the mark on this. We all do, you know. So let's talk about how we can support each other in both receiving anger well and responding to it effectively, and also expressing our own anger in ways that actually work for the good of the situation and the good of everybody involved, so that we can make good use of the righteous anger that God has given us to address injustices and bring healing to problems and make space for real love to thrive while setting limits around those unhealthy expressions of anger. 877-573-7825 is the number to call with your questions about anger, expressing anger, and dealing with angry people. Again, that's 877-573-7825. When we come back, we'll be talking more with you about your questions about handling anger gracefully. Stick around for more More to Life right after this.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
How does God's method of governing provide a role model for human governors? God is a delegator. He has not, the Catholic Catechism points out, willed to reserve to himself all exercise of power. He entrusts to every creature the functions it is capable of performing according to the capacity of its own nature. God displays great regard for human freedom. Inspired by God, human governors should behave as instruments of divine providence and practice the principle of subsidiarity, which ordains that a community of a higher order should not interfere in the internal life of a community of a lower order, depriving the latter of its functions. The Catechism stresses that the principle of subsidiarity sets limits on state intervention. The collective ends of society can never justify using means that trample individual rights. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I want you to have such confidence in the Lord that you'll find such hope and see the beauty of the Lord, the majesty of God. What did our Lord say, huh? If your sins are as scarlet, oh, what? What's going to happen? They shall be made white as snow.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. What does it mean for a dad to be poor in spirit? According to scripture scholars, the man who is poor in spirit is profoundly aware of his radical dependence on God. Men often struggle with this idea. Many of us have been raised to believe that it's a virtue to be self-sufficient. Boys are taught from toddlerhood that they're sissies if they ever need their moms or dads too much. This world tells us, blessed is the man who takes care of himself and minds his own affairs. But this attitude is completely contrary to the message of Jesus. In the words of Pope Francis, when the heart is rich and self-satisfied, it has no place for the Word of God. Catholic dads, do you know what it means to be radically dependent on God's help to be a great husband and father? To learn more, check out my book, Be Dadattudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
For joining us on More to Life today on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Today's show is titled Put Away Wrath, as we talk about anger, dealing with angry people, and managing our own anger gracefully. The number to call, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Ruth, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Iowa.
Ruth, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, thank you for this opportunity to gain from your wisdom and experience. I have a 5-year-old grandson and 2-year-old granddaughter that aren't able to spend a lot of time with them because of distance, but so when we're there, maybe a day and a half. But one thing I observed this recently is the 5-year-old boys, like just running up to his 2-year-old sister and flailing her to the ground. He's a very bright, fun kid. She's very gregarious. And it just kind of like, first of all, just catches me off guard. You know, what was that about kind of thing? And the parents are very involved and, you know, like right away want to address the aggression, but I was wanted to gain from your wisdom. I haven't talked to them about it since that day, but wanted to. I listen to your program all the time. It's like I should know the answer to this, and I haven't.
No, believe me, it's all different all the time.
It'd take me a month to go through online and books to get your wisdom.
That's why we're here. Thanks be to God and EWTN Radio and Heavenly Maria. That's why we're here, so you can ask your own questions and we can tailor it to you. Now, let me ask you this. No, go right ahead. They recently moved
to a different house, and then he started kindergarten in a quite a larger public school compared to the Christian.
Okay. And did the pushing escalate when that happened?
Well, see, like I said, I wanted to talk to you guys to get some, you know, just some ideas and things. Because I don't want.
So you're not sure if that made it worse.
Across. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't dialogued about the details.
Okay. So you said you've seen some of this yourself, and the parents are right on it. What are the parents doing when this happens? Have you seen how they handle it, and how do they handle it?
Remove them. You know, it's aggression is the, you know, aggression. I can't remember the phrase used, but obviously they're, you know, aware it's an act of aggression and want to stop it. But as I have health conditions, so I have limitations that way.
Okay.
I guess the question I have is: Have they expressed either frustration about this or a desire for help with it? Because that's going to be a factor in how you approach this too.
I know, and that's they haven't asked for help, and that's why I wanted to talk to you first. Is you know, it's that fine line when you're the grandparent.
Sure.
You know, you don't want to come off preachy, but I know they would welcome.
Okay.
You know.
All right. So let me offer some general tips on this, and then let's talk about maybe how you might be able to share this with them. So I would say that instead of seeing this as an act of aggression, I would see this more as the impulsivity that is very common to children this age.
Yeah, you're talking about a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, and there's no greater situation where nobody has any self-control yet, because self-control is taught and learned over time.
You know, and so when we see, you know, littles like this, you know, 5 and younger, who are acting in this way, you know, obviously can be a little intimidating. We don't want our kids to grow up to be bullies. And so, you know, we see this kind of behavior emerging and we're obviously appropriately concerned about it. But again, I think it's more a matter of impulsivity and not knowing how to respond in a situation. And so it's our job as parents to teach our kids how to express themselves appropriately, right? So depending on the context, you know, you can usually see pretty easily what the kid is trying to get at, because, you know, the motivations of a five-year-old don't run particularly deep. You know, so, you know, if maybe the kid doesn't know how to take turns, or maybe they don't know how to get my attention, or maybe they don't know how, you know, he sees his sister messing up the block tower that he was building, or, you know, getting in his way in some other way. You see what the child is trying to do, and you say, ho, wait a minute. Here's how we do that. Can you please use your word? Say thus and such. And then you have him repeat it. That was a really good job. Now apologize to your sister for pushing her. You know, you want to
give her a gentle hug once he's calmed down a bit. These are all the steps you take. So the kids, you're the parents of these children, are doing good things by removing him from the situation, telling him that aggression isn't acceptable. The next step, and of course you're not really sure if they're doing that or not, but the next step is the kind of things that Greg is illustrating here, where then once he's calm enough because he's been removed, you're teaching how to get the need met in an effective, non-aggressive way.
The mistake that parents make, you know, it's an honest mistake, is that they just remove the child from the situation, or they just say don't push. They don't teach what to do instead. And then they get frustrated because, you know, I keep having to remove my kid every 2 seconds because he's always pushing his sister. And you know, the reason for that is they don't know what else to do instead. So what you want to do is once you've removed him, before he's allowed to come back out among civilized people, you rehearse the situation where, for example, you know, mom might play the role of the 2-year-old and she has the 5-year-old practice what they talked about doing so that she can see that the 5-year-old knows how to do it with the right tone, the right words, the right actions, and then they practice it. And then she can bring the 5-year-old back to the 2-year-old to apologize for that.
And that's really important because, one, the 5-year-old or any child we're teaching, the emotional temperature will begin to come down as they have the skills to get their intentions met effectively and non-destructively. Secondly, it really allows this to become a skill that is built upon not just between 5-year-old and 2-year-old sister, but in every age and stage of life. And it's certainly something he needs in his new kindergarten class. But we as parents and grandparents, you know, we're very much aware of we need to stop a child from hurting another child or doing something aggressive. But I go back to what it was like, you know, when a lot of us were in school. And let's say we got a spelling word or a math problem wrong and the teacher just said, big red X, that's wrong. And never taught us how to learn how to do that math problem or learn how to spell that word effectively. We just knew it's wrong. We don't know how to learn. And so giving our children the skills they need to manage their emotions and their behaviors is teaching that, just as we would want a good teacher to teach the skills our children need academically.
One other thing I'll throw out, and then I want to talk about how to share this with your adult children, and also give you some resources for this. The other thing that's important to keep in mind for parents out there, a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old are not able to appropriately play by themselves.
Very true.
You know, parents have a tendency to send kids out of the room, you know, go play, and then they think, oh, I'll go fold some laundry or make dinner or pay some bills while the kids are in the other room. A 5-year-old and a 2-year-old are not capable of playing well on their own without adult supervision. They need to be at least in eyesight, so that you can make sure that, you know, you're guiding their play and that you have the structures in place that they aren't kind of led into temptation to hurt each other.
Or so be destructive around the house.
Now, how do you communicate this to your adult kids? Well, you know, you have to be careful here because they didn't ask for help, right? And so, you know, just kind of piping up, say, hey, you know, I noticed that you're really failing in this area as a parent. probably not the best
way. Wouldn't use
and
those words.
And I know you wouldn't.
But they will interpret it that way because,
So the best thing to do is ask questions, you know, to say, hey, I noticed that you seem like you're really kind of struggling with this or that you seem frustrated about thus and such. You know, how are you feeling about
it? Or even say, I loved your approach when I was there because I love the fact that you're letting them know that aggression is not acceptable, that you got them out of that situation. That's awesome. But when you took him out of the room, I'm dying to know, what did you do next? Because that just was such a great approach. What's after that?
So you can bring it up that way. The other way to bring it up is to say, hey, I came across this really cool resource for you guys that I thought might be really helpful because it seems like you're kind of already parenting in this way. And I thought that this might help help some of the other things that you were working on.
And give you the support, especially since I'm so far away, I can't always be there to, help lift some of the load.
And the resource is our Catholic Home app, and it's spelled H-O-M. It stands for Households on Mission. And by becoming a subscriber to the Catholic Home app, you can get even daily parent coaching from Lisa and I and our whole team of pastoral counselors and coaches, plus tons of creative resources like downloadable activities, exclusive podcast content, videos, even a cartoon series for families to watch together to really know what it means to build a dynamic domestic church, monthly live streams, just tons of stuff, in addition to the daily parent coaching that you can get to kind of just raise these kinds of questions. You know, subscribers ask stuff like this all day long, and we're just offering tips and coaching and support to kind of get them through the whole thing. So if you'd like to turn them on to Catholic Home, again, it's an app. It's spelled Catholic H-O-M, stands for Households on Mission. And we'd hope that they can become subscribers there and we can continue to support you in your ministry as a grandparent, Ruth. So hopefully these ideas will give you some ways to help your adult kids with your grandchild, but also give you some resources to be able to support them across the miles. So, Ruth, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us. And listeners, if you are dealing, we're talking about anger today on the show, and how we deal with anger is learned at home. Obviously, we need to be taught how to express anger appropriately, and that can be tricky, because we as adults don't often know how to deal with anger appropriately, much less teach it to our kids. So one more reason to sign up for the Catholic Home app. It's Catholic H-O-M, stands for Households on Mission. And as I was telling Ruth, you can get daily parent coaching there from Lisa and I, plus tons of creative resources to help make parenting easier and make living your faith at home simple and fun. Hope you'll check it out. You can get a yearly plan and get 2 months free with that annual plan for just $149, or you can go month to month for $14.95. But one subscription covers the entire family. Both parents can get the parent coaching. All the kids can get access to the activities and resources. It's going to make your life a whole lot easier. So we hope that you'll become part of the Catholic Home community. Subscribe to the Catholic Home app today. Again, that's Catholic H-O-M. Households on Mission, and we hope to see you there. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11.
Fools give vent to all their anger, but the wise, biding their time, control it.
Now, the author of Proverbs here is not saying stuff your anger.
That was exactly what I wanted to hit on. It's control it, not stuff it, don't express it, let it seethe within you.
It's saying fools give vent to all their anger, but the wise biding their time control it. Controlling anger does not mean repressing it. It doesn't mean stuffing it down. It means expressing it in a healthy way, bit by bit, in an appropriate, proportionate, and productive manner, like we've been talking through the whole show.
And in a way where, because you are trying to be wise, you have brought it to prayer. You have asked God. You don't just have, a sudden flare-up reaction. You feel it. You take it to prayer in that moment, but certainly in a deeper prayer. And you say, Lord, this is what I feel is unjust here. This is what is causing my emotions to flare up. What do you want me to do with this so that I can respect the other person and be respected myself and give you glory? When we take that to prayer, God shows up pretty quickly because he wants to help us. He wants to meet that need in us. He wants to console us and teach us because he is such an amazing father.
And with that, we are heading out to a break, taking your calls about anger today on More to Life. How is anger undermining your peace? Maybe someone you care about is struggling with anger. For example, maybe you have a child who melts down over the littlest thing, or a spouse who melts down over the littlest thing and sometimes lashes out at you. Maybe it's a parent, a sibling or a family member or even friend who always tends to be upset with you about something. Or maybe you're struggling with your own anger because there's someone or something that just pushes your buttons and you find yourself doing and saying things you feel bad about afterward but really aren't sure what else you could have done instead. We want to help you find the antidote for all the ways anger might be poisoning your relationships. Give us a call. That number is 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. Join the conversation today about anger and expressing it in ways that actually produce godly results and make way for real love to flourish. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions coming up right after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Concentration camp survivor Elie Wiesel once said, "To forget murder victims is to kill them twice." 65 million unborn children have been killed by abortion. A small fraction of these victims are buried in human cemeteries. Let us honor them at the graves and memorial markers Saturday, September 13th, the National Day of Remembrance. See all locations and times at nationaldayofremembrance.org. That's nationaldayofremembrance.org.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, Put Away Wrath. We're talking about anger, whether it's directed at you or you're struggling with your own anger. We want to help you have a more graceful relationship with anger. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with our next caller who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Hi, listener. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Well, I'm just wondering how you handle when you tell a child that you're going to go to another state with your other child, and they feel like you're leaving them, and they want to take care of you, but the other one also is very willing to take care of you.
Okay, so the situation is that you're older and you're looking at moving out of the house that you're in, because you told our screener that it's
Correct.
Getting a little overwhelming to take care of, and you have two daughters. And so the one lives a little
Correct.
Bit further away, and you're looking at moving in with her as opposed to the daughter who lives closer then?
Correct.
And Right. And can you tell me a little bit more about that decision? Why with the daughter out of state?
One of us is very sick, has a lot of medical issues, and I just need to know that I need more than just to live in another, like a smaller apartment by myself with him. I need to be with people. I need to be with family. And I think the other daughter can give me that time.
So she can give you time and more space as well? She's more set up for that?
Right, right. She has a big home.
And when, I'm assuming, since your daughter that you're closest to now...
It happened very quickly. It happened very quickly.
And when you said to her, this just makes more sense in terms of what our needs are right now, and I don't think that staying near you would give meet all the needs that we have, I'm going to miss you like crazy, I understand that you're upset, what does she say?
The daughter who's upset with you for a little
while. Yeah.
She kind of like blocked me out, but she's...
How so?
She's starting to talk to me now. Well, not discussing it. So how do I bring it up to talk to her about it?
I think you just need to bring it up. And I think it's the best way to do it is to say, listen, you seemed to get really upset when I told you that I was going to move in with your sister. And I'd like to understand, can you tell me what you were thinking and what was going on in your heart when you heard me say that? Because I want to make sure that I'm really addressing what your concerns are, and I really want you to feel heard. So if you start by justifying your decision, if you start by explaining what you did, it may miss some things, and she's not going to feel like you really care about what her concerns are.
Right, because she already knows probably the technicalities of why you're moving. But when you address what's really on her heart about all of this, and it could be a myriad of things, it could bring up old sibling rivalry. She could feel less than. She could be worried about you and Dad and you getting older. All these and many more things could be what's troubling her heart.
But you just want to lead with empathy, okay? And let her say whatever it is that's on her heart. And I would suggest to you, maybe don't respond to it right then. Prepare yourself to just listen. And while she's talking to you, maybe, you know, say a Hail Mary or a couple of Hail Marys, right? And ask God...
In your own self, not out loud while she's talking.
You know, ask God to just let you receive whatever it is that she says, even if it feels unfair or unjust or maybe a little crazy or whatever. Just take it in. You can ask questions about it to try to understand it a little bit better. Don't try to talk her out of it. Don't try to defend yourself. Don't try to explain anything. Just really focus on actively listening to whatever it is she needs to say to you. You know, when you say, hey, listen, I really want to understand what that reaction was about, what you were going through, what were you thinking in your heart, or what do you feel like that decision meant to you? Ask those questions. Let her talk. At the end, whenever she's done talking, if you really feel like you're able to respond to it compassionately and say, you know what, I'd like to talk about that with you. Let's work through this together. Fine. But you might want to just say, you know what, I really thank you for telling me all that. I would really like to think about it and pray about it some more so I can really wrap my head around it. And then let's talk about it some more. But This time, I really wanted to know where you were at and what was going on so that I can appreciate and understand where you were coming from. Because this is a really sensitive topic for all of us, and I wanted to make sure that I really heard you. So then you kind of reflect on it a little bit, think about, okay, well, what do I need to clarify, or what would be good to address, or what do I need to say? And then you can come back with a subsequent conversation there. But the most important thing right now is to lead with empathy and create space for her to say whatever's on her heart, and for you to receive that generously so that she feels heard. My suspicion, of course, in all of this is that somehow she's thinking that you believe the other, you know, daughter is more competent or the preferred child or any of those things. And if it's that, you know, you don't want to hit that too hard. You would just want to say, listen, it really is just about the fact that I think she's in a better place to give me more time and
more space, whatever this is, because we're dealing with a lot.
So let's talk about, but I will really miss you, and I want to be part of your life, and I want you to have a say in all of this too. Let's talk about how we can stay connected and how you can continue to play a role in all of this and be part of this too, because I don't want you to feel like I'm cutting you out by making this decision. I want to be able to bring you with me. I just feel like, practically speaking, there are just more resources here to address the problems that your dad and I are facing right now. So try to have that conversation. You know, and this is a lot. We've shared a lot with you. I'd encourage you to download the podcast of More to Life later on and kind of keep the recording. You know, listen to it a little bit, reflect on it a little bit more, and then approach her the way we're talking about. I think that that will bear some good fruit. And of course, if you have that conversation and then you want to talk back with us again, don't hesitate to reach out. We'd be happy to help you through this. But thank you so much for the call. I'm sorry you guys are going through this. We've added you and your family to our More to Life prayer list, that God would guide you all through this and you'd be able to come out the other end stronger and closer for the effort. Thank you again for the call. And listeners, if you are struggling with anger, either your own anger or the anger of others being directed at you, we want to help you manage all of that gracefully. And if you're looking for faithful ways to handle anger, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com. With that, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
To Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.